next hour of Kevin Miller in the Morning is brought to you by Tway Travel, your adventure travel specialists. Fighting for America.
As your commander-in-chief, I will not commit you and the rest of our armed forces to fighting another ground war in Iraq. They can secure their own country's futures.
Fighting for Idaho.
I think these guys got to realize that they're role models and they can't be doing things like what they're doing today. They need to recognize that, hey, look, if I do something like that, I'm going to get suspended or banned from the league.
Fighting for you.
Congratulations for the Marconi Award.
Did you have to speak Italian to receive that?
Yes, I like it. These are very much.
Boise's Mr. Right, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award. Kevin Miller in the Morning.
I'm so proud of you.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
I think the president's concern, and I understand it, was that he had a fear that if we started providing weapons, we wouldn't know where those weapons would wind up. My view was you have to begin somewhere. I think in part we paid a price for not doing that in what we see happening with ISIS.
And there we have it. We're paying a price, according to Leon Panetta.
The real key was how can we develop a leadership group among the opposition that would be able to take control. And my view was to have leverage to do that, we would have to provide the weapons and the training in order for them to really be willing to work with us in that effort.
Allergy medicine.
And there you have it from 60 Minutes, and allergy medicine indeed. Kevin Miller with you here at 580 KIDO. You just heard at the top of the hour that we are at war with ISIS. Those of you watching The Voice last night, now, I will tell you, I don't watch The Voice, but we have Mrs. Miller there who's watching The Voice, and I'm sitting there taking a look, and I'm going, well, how long will Brian Williams be on? Are we going to blow up network television's darling? Are we going to blow up network television's darling because we're going after the bad guys? Oh, wait, he was on for a minute. We're launching against Syria. We've got Saudi Arabia, Bahrain, Qatar, United Arab Emirates, and Jordan. Not so much the coalition of the willing. Five countries, apparently, and we have the talking head saying this is unprecedented. Well, how many of us have ever been in a fight? Maybe it's with the Internal Revenue Service. Maybe it's with the student loan people. Heck, maybe it's with Jack down the hall. And we have a disagreement, and we, or for a lot of us, it's been in divorce court, right? And somebody just won't let it go. And you keep thinking, when are cooler heads going to prevail? And unfortunately, when you're dealing with the radicals, they don't give a rip about us. There is no negotiation. There is no respite. There is no end to the war until they kill us, because they view us as weak. They see our culture that embraces things that they stone people for, whether it's cheating on your wife, whether it's treating your wife as an equal or women as equals, whether it's gay rights, whether it's civil rights, whether it's Christianity or anything else that disagrees with their outlook and their faith. There is no moderation. There is no negotiation. Now, in Idaho, and I'm not pandering here at 580KIDO, I think we understand that. You know, if that sniper was here as opposed to in Pennsylvania, they'd be telling him to lock himself up in a house because we'd shoot him. But in other states, in the Rudy Poo, Mamby Pamby East Coast, the lemmings just go along with it. They just go along with, hey, everything is great, until, unfortunately, there is another attack. So we have the Tomahawk missiles. We have this. We have that. I thought George Bush fought an unnecessary war. I believe that George Bush actually had more people, the first Bush and the second Bush, than President Obama. Let's take a listen now to Pentagon spokesman Rear Admiral John Kirby discussing this issue and asking whether or not we're at war. Are we at war, sir?
We are definitely at war with ISIL.
ISIL. What does that mean, sir?
We used dozens and dozens and dozens of tactical aircraft fighters, bombers from all the nations, as well as Tomahawk strikes.
Now, let me show you my ignorance when I go, bro, or dude, or really. Do we have that again, Sweet William? Can you pull that up again? I'm sorry. I'm so ill-prepared.
We used dozens and dozens and dozens of tactical aircraft fighters, bombers from all the nations, as well as Tomahawk strikes.
Come on, man. Come on, man. Who do you think is footing the bill here? And when you take a look at your student loans, when you take a look at your taxes, this is what they're going to pay. The Tomahawk missiles that ain't cheap, the bombing that ain't cheap. I mean, the French aren't paying for this. We are. Do you believe it's worth it? That is question one at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Do you believe this is a worthwhile investment? Now, we've had people on this program, whether it's Ron Paul, Jim, whether it's Tom Munns, screaming and yelling about that they don't believe that this is a legitimate threat, that this is a phony way to get us back into the Middle East for the big governments. I got to say, this is a consequence of a really bad foreign policy by departments of state and defense.
We took very, very care to make sure that we were hitting what we were aiming at and not causing collateral damage. We don't have any indications that we did.
All right. Now, if you're a sniper, a sharpshooter, or even an infantry person, right, you're supposed to hit where you aim at. What's the big deal there? Now, this is the problem. ISIS chops people's heads off. We're worried about collateral damage.
We took very, very care to make sure that we were hitting what we were aiming at and not causing collateral damage. We don't have any indications that we did.
Oh, do I miss General Powell? Don't you?
We think we hit what we were aiming at.
There we go. We think we hit what we're aiming at. How effective have the strikes been so far? Let's take a listen to Fox News Radio's Rachel Sutherland.
U.S. forces launched airstrikes and cruise missile attacks in Syria last night against ISIS and another terrorist group made up of al-Qaeda vets. Rear Admiral John Kirby says there were 22 total strikes last night and
we're still assessing the effectiveness of those strikes, but we think we hit what we were aiming at.
A senior U.S. source says the strikes destroyed ISIS-occupied buildings, but the concern is the group will just adapt and take over new buildings and infrastructure. The president is expected to make a statement on the strikes this morning. In Washington, Rachel Sutherland, Fox News Radio.
Sometimes you just feel like you're hitting your head against the wall.
They don't have a boss with them. They've given me a stuff.
Put your hands on your back now.
I'm not doing anything, man.
You know, that goofy sound effect actually seems to make more sense than our foreign policy. I love this. How effective were the attacks? Well, they could be moving around. Now, the most vilified president in modern times would have to be George Bush and his daddy, George H.W. Bush. But remember what they did? They put together something called the Coalition of the Willing. And our question now is, the president, with his five Arab partners, is that the equivalent of, what was it, over 40 nations that President H.W. Bush put together? Again, you have the Saudis, which, when they're not telling us to fight their wars, they're actually funding these thugs, these terrorists, these killers. And then you have the Qataris, who actually, let's face it, that's where al-Qaeda's headquarters is. So can this be solved? Is this different from President Bush?
Who was pushing in which direction? But there was a lot of tear gassing or other kinds of gassing against people crossing the border. That was the first time we saw some effort to close that border today. But up until now, Turkey has been, as I say, the hardest one. There were meetings today between Kerry and his Saudi counterpart. And interestingly, there was also a meeting between Iran's Foreign Minister Zarif and Prince Saud of Saudi Arabia. As you well know, the Saudis and the Iranians have not been together. And we understand, we were told at a briefing tonight from the State Department, from a senior official, that there will be a follow-up meeting with Zarif or other Iranians going to Riyadh. That has not happened.
That's astonishing. That's almost unthinkable. Are the basis of those discussions the issue of ISIS and the situation in Syria?
Yes.
That's astonishing.
That is what's so unusual about this. So this will not be the broad coalition of the willing that George Herbert Walker Bush was able to put together in 1991 when Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait, and when you saw what Jim Baker was able to do in getting the world aligned. In fact, as you were just discussing with Chris Jansing, French President Hollande was reluctant to talk about airstrikes in Syria, only on the Iraq side of the border. And the other piece that Jim Mikuláczewski has been pointing out is that this is all in the air, and that there needs to be a ground component, but that is not yet.
There we have it. The ground component is not ready. Well, who do you think is going to be supplying the ground component? The president, not once, not three times, but five times, did say that he will not have any. And when the president speaks, he never backs down. We will not have any boots on the ground. But those of you that remember Vietnam, heck, those of you that studied Vietnam, what was Vietnam all about? It was a little thing called mission creep. Now, the White House is getting very defensive when it comes to those pesky reporters trying to ask legitimate, hard-hitting questions.
So all the contrast, as you see it, between the president's contemplated course of action in Syria and the run-up to the Iraq war. I ask because some critics have drawn comparisons between the two. There's no imminent threat. There's no invitation from the sovereign nation. How do you see the president's approach as different from the one pursued by President Bush?
Well, that's a good question. Has any of the Arab states asked us to stay there, have given us safe harbor? Have the Saudis, the Qataris, the Jordanians, the UABs, or the UAEs said, look, the Kuwaitis, we want you here. This is the gravest threat to our form of government. They're lopping people's heads off. Come protect us. Well, they did that with President Bush. Where is President Obama? Because remember, the president did say that he was much more in tune with the Arab world than any of his predecessors. In fact, he knew how they thought because of his time in those countries as a kid. Doesn't seem to be paying off. How is it different from President Bush, sir?
To the two examples that you cited, there was an invitation from the Iraqi government for American military participation in efforts to counter ISIL.
Right. So there we have it. The Iraqi government, because they're about ready to get overthrown. 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com. Do you agree with the president's decision to start bombing Syria? Or are you more inclined to be like some of our contributors to this program that say this is bogus, ISIS, ISIL, mistletoe is not a threat to our republic, we should back out? And the problem I have with them is very simply that I do believe that they will come here. I do believe that they believe that we are weak, vulnerable, that we are glutinous, that we are just going to sit back and take it, and they're going to take over. What was it the other day? We were interviewing somebody that in Detroit, some guy has, what, five wives, and they're all on social services because that's their religion, even though it's illegal? Heck, we have a Supreme Court justice, Justice Kagan, that is officiating a same-sex wedding. Now, that is not federal law, but why is she doing it? So these folks see us. They see the president, who appears to be so distracted that we can't even have any security at the White House. And they don't want to get along. They don't want to turn the other cheek. They want to kill us. Think about that as you're taking your kids to school. Let's get you to work safely.
Alex Jones, weekday evenings at 7. Now back to Kevin Miller, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
724, currently it is 62 in Star. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. If you're just tuning in, we are talking about the U.S. attacks on ISIL, ISIS. And George Will had something interesting to say about it. Let's take a listen at 580KIDO.
Iraqis did not want U.S. troops there. George.
Well, with regard to his having ended the war in Iraq, of course, he ended our participation in it. And as Orwell said, the quickest way to end a war is to lose it, which we may have done. It all is going to come back to whether or not ISIS can be driven off the land, the quarter of Iraq that they currently occupy, and the chances are not good. You've mentioned the 78 days of bombing in Kosovo. They didn't work until there were credible threats that we were going to use NATO armed force, at which point the air power on the ground, right. Precisely. General Scales, Fox News contributor, retired Army general, said in the Wall Street Journal, at the end of the day, this defeating ISIS will be on the shoulders of men and women who are willing to kill in close. He doesn't varnish it. And those are not going to be Americans. The question is, will they be anyone else? Juan.
There you have it, Juan. Let's go to Ron Paul Juan, Ron Paul Jim at 580KIDO.
Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, brother.
Yeah, I just, I try to recollect all the storylines, the templates that we've been fed by this administration, you know, by the media, ever since we are, boy, that's loud. When our embassy closed down, at that time, they said that they closed it down because of it was unstable and dangerous, and yet our embassy in Libya stayed open. You know, if you just compare, you know, apples to apples, you know, where was the danger then? And if you look at the UN, you know, these watchdog groups that count the casualties, at that time, it was only 5,000. As soon as we pull out and our government, along with Israel and Saudi Arabia, start bringing foreign fighters in there, which they denied up until a year later, suddenly the deaths were 100,000 being blamed on Assad. Then war comes out, and then you find out that these other groups, these so-called, you know, moderate rebels were actually radicals, and they were the ones actually wiping out the villages, but they were still trying to say that Assad's a thug. You know, never was there any evidence that wasn't later disputed. And this information just keeps coming forward and more. And so it's almost like, how, you know, like, it's like they got a little game plan, a little strategy to try and get us in there. And then it backfires because information surfaces. You see, like, McCain taking photographs with these rebels, and then at the same time, you know, these guys are uploading videos of them eating the heart of a soldier. You know, and, you know, we're supposed to somehow ignore that and ignore that, you know, McCain blew his top when those Coptic Christians came to the White House and tried to explain to him, those rebels you're funding are killing us. And he's like, get them out of here and all this stuff. I don't know if you knew about this, but...
I'm with you. It's just a cesspool. So why do you believe that we're there? I mean, I Assad is a brutal dictator.
Yeah, we keep hearing that. But you know what? My mother-in-law, my brother-in-law, and his family still all live there. They have investments there, you know, houses that they rent out. And guess who one of the customers of, you know, one of the clients who was renting a house was? The U.S. Embassy. And guess who's protecting them right now? It's the Assad regime.
Right, but you don't dispute that Assad has killed children and brutalized his own people.
Well, you know what? I got family over there, and they could...
I mean, yes or no, otherwise. Ron Paul. I mean, look, let's have them on. But I'm saying, I'm asking you, do you believe that Assad is a bad person that kills his own people?
You haven't seen the evidence yet. Honestly, I have not. I've been told... lots of propaganda that has panned out not to be true, and time again. Do you remember all the way back when we first, Desert Shield, why we went in there? It was because of Nurse Naria testifying before Congress of the Iraqis taking babies out of incubators and leaving them to die. Remember all that?
Yep.
And it turned out that was a lie.
I gotta tell you though, Ron Paul Jim, with all due respect. And thank you for the call, that I think Assad is a bad person. I think ISIS is a bad person. I think the allies that we have, the Free Syrian Army, are bad people. Al-Qaeda is bad. They're all bad. Now, unless we go in there with a street cleaner and wipe them all out, which we won't, you know, what's the point? What's the point? And as we keep bombing these people, all we're doing is motivating them to come after us. You know, when we have the admiral going, we made sure that we hit our targets. Okay, sir, really? We made sure that we hit our targets. Apparently,
we think we hit what we were aiming at.
Yeah, we think we hit what we're aiming at. Well, isn't that what we pay you to do? Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9.
Now back to Kevin Miller, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, good morning. Coming up, Middleton gives Canyon County the boot. We'll talk a little bit about that when it comes to law enforcement. Whether that impacts your life or not, we'll take a look at that big story, number one. Number two, as we said, Money Magazine has Meridian at the 49th best place to live. Number one, McKinley, Texas. What's that about? Usually the Treasure Valley dominates, but big ups for Meridian, not a suburban community anymore, a power in its own right. So, again, congratulations to all the folks there and really to everybody here in the Treasure Valley. Coming up, we'll go live to the Middle East. We'll speak with our friend Emily Wither about the ISIL attacks. And was that the worst-kept secret ever? But as we bring the band back together again and try and add some levity in the ever-serious world we live in, for that content, here's Emily Wither with Fox News Radio live in Jerusalem. Good morning, ma'am.
Hello, good morning. How are you?
Well, was this one of the worst-kept secrets ever? It wasn't a matter of if, but just when, and when it's underway with these attacks in Syria.
Well, exactly. I mean, we did know that the attacks were coming, Kevin. We just didn't know when they were going to take place. We were told repeatedly by administration officials that they could come in a matter of minutes, days, weeks, or months. And I guess it seems that they decided last night was the right time to move their air campaign, which had already been going after ISIS inside Iraq, to Syria, where this group has its main stronghold. And the airstrikes targeted last night Raqqa province, which is the so-called capital of this Islamic State group. It also targeted areas close to the border with Iraq and also northern Syria as well. And what's interesting is these strikes didn't just go after ISIS militants, but also some of the missiles also targeted bases that were being used by the Al-Qaeda-linked rebel group, the Al-Nusra Front. They're a rival to the Islamic State group, but they're also an extremist group operating in Syria, and they were targeted as well.
Emily, what's been the initial reaction in that region to the attacks?
There hasn't been too much reaction, and that's partly because the U.S. was joined by five very important Arab allies: Bahrain, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, Jordan, and the United Arab Emirates. And some of these countries here are major Sunni heavyweights, and so it was very important to the U.S. to have them on board, because this is a Sunni group operating in Syria. So if you have the support of powerful Sunni nations here in the Middle East, it's going to give this whole campaign a lot more legitimacy. We don't know what role each of these countries played in last night's initial campaign. We've only really heard from the Jordanian government. They confirmed that their air force did take part, saying it was necessary, they felt, to secure the stability and security of Jordan. But this is only the beginning. This campaign is going to last for some time. Just to give you an idea, there have already been over 190 airstrikes inside Iraq going after this group. The group ISIS is much more powerful. There's a lot more fighters, and they've gained a lot more territory inside Syria. And there were only 20 or so airstrikes last night. So this is really just the beginning of what could be quite a long, drawn-out campaign.
Drawn-out campaign, and Emily Wither, an expensive one. Any idea who's footing the bill?
Well, I mean, if you think about the countries that were involved in last night's air campaign, many of them are supplied with U.S. military hardware. They receive U.S. military aid. So if we just take last night as an example, I imagine it was a pretty costly bill for the United States when it all came to a close. The European countries have not said that they want to get involved in this particular battle inside Syria. The French, for example, have said they're happy to carry out airstrikes inside Iraq after this group, but have ruled out airstrikes inside Syria. And NATO have even come out today and said that none of their member states, which is, of course, the European states, were involved in this campaign last night. So I imagine that the U.S. probably picked up most of that bill there. I don't think they went Dutch with another big country.
Emily Wither, Fox News Radio, joining us live from Jerusalem here at 580 KIDO. kind of threw me off there with that comment. What about our friends, the sons and daughters of Ataturk, the Turks? Any movement on that front?
The Turks haven't really gotten very involved in this international coalition, and they have been criticized for that. One of the reasons given was that this militant group, and we spoke about this before, they were holding more than 40 of their citizens hostage. And that made it very complicated for Turkey to get more deeply involved in going after ISIS. Those citizens, though, have now been released. So we may see some deeper involvement from Turkey. But Turkey's pretty heavily involved with a very nasty situation unfolding on their border. There's been a number of attacks in northern Syria over the last couple of days. The Islamic State militant group has tried to capture some of the towns and villages in this area of the north that borders Turkey that is mostly held by the Kurds. And this has caused a massive amount of refugees to flee this area. And when I say staggering numbers, I mean we're talking thousands. In the last 4 or 5 days, the Turkish government say over 130,000 people have gone from Syria into Turkey. I mean, that's just a phenomenal number of people who are turning up with nothing but the clothes on their back, no food and nowhere to go. So Turkey's pretty busy with that at the moment.
Emily Wither with us, Kevin Miller here at 580KIDO. Back to this coalition, and you know so much about it, but for folks here in Idaho, what's the significance? People are comparing this to George H.W. Bush's Coalition of the Willing, but what does it say that you have these Arab allies willing to stick their neck out? What's the significance of these allies?
An easy way to look at this is take Iraq, for example. The U.S. was heavily criticized, particularly here in the Middle East, for going in to Iraq. And with something like Syria, which involves so many different countries in this very complicated region, if you go into a situation like this and you don't have support of some of the neighbors, this could have serious repercussions against the United States. It could fester anger towards the U.S. It could drive members of the public into the hands of terrorist organizations who might want to seek revenge against the U.S. for carrying out these types of attacks. So when you have major governments like this who are willing to throw themselves behind a U.S.-led campaign, it just gives it more legitimacy in the eyes of the Arab world, which is incredibly important for the U.S. if they're going to win, and I hate to use this cliché phrase, but hearts and minds on the ground, because really, that's pretty important if you want to stop attacks from happening down the line, but also because, you know, the U.S. doesn't have a great reputation among many people here in the Middle East, and when they do manage to form these coalitions, it improves that slightly.
Emily Wither, what's the Israeli perspective on this?
The Israelis have been pretty busy this morning with their own incident, actually. It's not really making the headlines, but at the moment you have a situation in northern Syria where their border with Syria is now completely controlled by Al-Qaeda. A rebel-linked group to Al-Qaeda, the Al-Nusra Front, has captured pretty much all of the territory here. So the Israelis have Al-Qaeda breathing down their necks, so to speak. And the government of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad has been trying to push them out. And a Syrian fighter jet strayed over into Israeli territory today. The Israelis say that this jet moved over in a threatening manner, and they were very quick to retaliate. They shot it down. And, I mean, something like this hasn't happened for decades. So it really seems as if Israel's northern border with Syria is going to be significantly heating up.
You're living in the hot part of the world. Finally, do you think that anyone else will join this coalition?
At the moment, we've had a pledge of up to 40 countries who are willing to join this coalition. So I don't think there'll be that many others that will come forward, just because this is a pretty sizable number of countries who have said they're willing to get involved. I do think that we might hear some deeper involvement, as I said before, from Turkey, who has pretty much remained on the sidelines for the last week or so while the U.S. has tried to drum up support for their campaign against the Islamic State. There was some reports last week from the Turkish president. He had told local media that Turkey was actually working on a buffer zone on their border with Syria and Iraq. So it's possible that we might see some kind of buffer zone put in place in the future. But I think they're the main country that everyone's still waiting to come forward at the moment.
And bonus because we can't get enough of Emily Wither here at 580KIDO. Everyone's worried about mission creep and the boots on the ground.
I can understand that, because if you speak to any military experts, if you speak to people on the ground, they will rightly point out that this group is not going to be destroyed with airstrikes alone. This is a group that it's estimated has more than 30,000 fighters. They are deeply entrenched in civilian communities in some areas of eastern Syria and just over the border in Iraq. They have government infrastructure in place. They are here to stay, and they at least hope that they're here to stay. So it will be very difficult to root them out with airstrikes alone. Just to give you a sense, those airstrikes last night killed, it's being reported by a monitoring group that gathers information from Syria, that 120 militants were killed. That's not really that many in the grand scheme of things.
Emily, thank you.
Thank you.
Emily Wither joining us. Now, your thoughts on attacking ISIS, 580-5436. 580-KIDO. Kevin Miller in the morning. Time for traffic.
Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580-KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And as they say in The Statesman, a relationship that has lasted 17 years is over. Middleton has decided not to spend almost $300,000 to keep its law enforcement contract with Canyon County. Instead, the city of about 6,000 is opting to rely on taxpayer-funded services the sheriff's office provides to unincorporated parts of the city. While it establishes a city police department, the city also aims to contract with Nampa Police for specific services on an hourly basis. Tom Munns. He knows all about Middleton at 580KIDO. Good morning, sir.
I want to take this. That's a perfect segue, man. I want to commend the mayor for doing a great thing. This could be a wonderful opportunity for Middleton to be able to show the rest of the state of Idaho that, you know, that we don't need, we are not a town that needs that kind of law enforcement. I just think he's off on a great start. I really do. And I would actually volunteer to be one of his reserve deputies if he needed it. So I think it'd be a great opportunity.
I'm just visualing that right now. Tom Munns in uniform.
Well, you know, I just think that it would, how ironic, wouldn't it?
Tom Munns, a fan of law enforcement.
The epitome of irony, my friend.
Yes. What can we do for you today, sir?
Well, I had a couple of thoughts on this ISIS issue. You know, you and I have kind of gone back and forth a little bit on this. I don't even know how to beg my fellow Americans to be able to look into this thing a little bit deeper, you know. It seems like the world is just on crack. We're all running on emotion and complete abandonment of any sort of law or apparent even decent logic or common sense, if I might even step out this far to say that. You know, we've got several issues here. You know, we've talked about world government from time to time and about how conspiratorial that is and whether it exists or not. You know, look at this. We have a world democracy right now. We are all collaborating on trying to be able to be the majority, to be able to silence the minority. And the problem is that most of us aren't even understanding the bigger picture here. Not only has Islam been in a fight for eternity, somehow we're involved in this thing. And now that we're operating out of fear, and threats without any attack, we have never been attacked. And I don't know how often I can say that. Our poor relationship with the Muslim countries comes from the fact that we're trying to spread democracy, which is something we never should have wanted for ourselves. It's like spreading syphilis. I mean, if America doesn't...
You're
want
saying
syphilis,
democracy is spreading syphilis?
It is. Why would we spread...
How is that?
Why would we want to spread something that we don't even want for ourselves? America was never a democracy. We never should desire to be a democracy. And our founding fathers knew the dangers of democracy. So why would we spread something that we wouldn't want for ourselves? You know, our relationship with the Islamic countries was never as bad as it is right now. And I think it's directly proportionate to our involvement. Not to forget that blood is thicker than water. I mean, the sons of Ishmael they're all brothers. For the idea that we would actually be able to look like the hero, to these people is not even a possibility.
Yeah, but they're killing people, Tom. They're killing innocent people.
People in around, you can't, this is the problem with America. America thinks that it can just flex its muscle and somehow it's going to fix the world's ills. You know, we have never been attacked. America does not operate. At least look at Putin. Putin isn't even getting involved unless he's attacked. He's at least got the right picture to that regard.
What do you want to do, Tom? What do you do? Just let him kill people?
You know what? You wait. You operate on. And this is the thing that I just don't understand why people can't
until
get
they take
I'm
over.
Saying.
Do they take over Iraq?
We either operate within the law of the Constitution, limiting government to certain powers, or we don't. We do not get involved.
You're not answering the question.
And neither are you. Yes.
I'm not posing the question.
You let things happen the way they're going to happen as long as America operates the way it's supposed to.
All right, Tom. I got to run. I apologize. Sorry, brother. Okay, thanks. Good morning, Dave. The debate continues. 61 in Eagle, 580 KIDO. Good morning. Serving Meridian.